So I'm going to read you some words from Ezekiel chapter 34, starting at verse 11. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture. The mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. There they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Over the past few weeks, the words that we've heard from the prophets have been challenging. They're words which don't sit comfortably with the status quo. Words that call us to a justice which asks a lot of us, which invites us into a struggle against often those who hold power in the world. That's actually one of the major themes of the prophets. Pick a random passage out of the prophetic works, and there's a pretty good chance you're going to find that it is condemning some injustice or some abuse by those who hold power, some oppression of the poor by the wealthy or of the weak by the powerful. And when we read those passages, I think we have to be incredibly self-aware, because it's so easy to place ourselves, as it were, standing alongside the prophet, condemning injustice. Or to place ourselves in the shoes of the victims, feeling our own suffering at the hands of those who have more power than us. But if we're honest with ourselves, we must also admit that there are times when we as individuals and when we as a church are just as easily or more easily identified with the oppressor than with the oppressed. You may or may not know that this week it's been Trans Awareness Week. So I asked permission of a good friend of mine to share a small part of her story. A couple of years ago, after 30 or more years of knowing that she did not fit as the man that everyone believed her to be, she publicly came out as a trans woman, which was a very big shock to all of us who knew her. But the vast majority of people got over it, accepted her transition at face value, tried to remember to use her new name and pronouns, getting it wrong from time to time, but making the honest effort, which was all that she asked of anybody. And we quickly rediscovered her as the person she had always been, but a more relaxed, more at home in her own skin version of that person, now that she was free to live as the woman that she had always known herself to be. The exception, of course, and how sad is it that I can say those words, of course, the exception was her church. It was the leadership of her church, which despite her many years of active and committed involvement, denied her experience, questioned her faith, rejected her service, and even eventually voted to not recognize her marriage, effectively driving her and her family out of the church that had been their home. And at the same time as we have stories like this, we also have within the church, within churches across the world, people working tirelessly for justice. People giving their time, their energy, their money to help to protect and to raise up those who have been marginalized, whatever reason it is that they have been so marginalized. Survey after survey shows that people of faith are more generous with their giving, even their giving to non-religious causes, and are more likely to volunteer within their community. So there is this strange duality at work. The people of God working for the good of all. The people of God through history, setting up schools, campaigning against slavery, building hospitals, foregoing high-paying career options to work in education or the social services or healthcare, volunteering in their communities, visiting the sick, taking casseroles to single parents who've just had a new baby, cooking breakfast at schools for kids who otherwise might not get a hot meal. And at the same time, the church covering up scandals of sexual abuse and financial impropriety, and donating funds to regressive political causes, hounding faithful individuals out because of their sexuality or their gender identity, or, not that long ago, because of their colour. It's to this duality that the prophet Ezekiel speaks in chapter 34. If you go back to the beginning of Ezekiel 34, you find that the prophet is making a sharp distinction between shepherds and sheep. Here are some words from the beginning of the chapter. "Ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Shouldn't shepherds feed the sheep? You haven't strengthened the weak. You haven't healed the sick. You haven't bound up the injured. You haven't brought back the strayed. You haven't sought the lost. My sheep were scattered over the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them." As is so often the case in the prophets, the voice of God speaks with anger against those who had the responsibility to care for others and failed in it. The ones who had not done their job. God's anger throughout the prophets is not somehow in tension with God's love. God's anger is because of God's love. Because God sees those who are in need, who are not receiving the help that they need. God sees those who are being abused by those who should be their protectors, by those who should be caring for them. And because the shepherds have failed in their duty, because the shepherds, the priests and the kings and the rulers of Israel in Ezekiel's time have failed in their duty to care for the sheep, God promises them a new approach. "As shepherds seek out their flocks when they're among their scattered sheep, I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from the places to which they've been scattered. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I will be their shepherd," God says. "I will cut out the middleman. The shepherds have not sought the lost, so I will. They have not cared for the sick, so I will. They have not fed the sheep, so I will." And of course, it's to this promise that Jesus clearly identifies himself when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I call my sheep by name. They hear my voice and they follow me." This is part of a theme which actually resonates through the prophets and through the New Testament. Think of Joel's declaration that God will pour out God's Spirit on all people. Those words that were quoted and fulfilled in Pentecost. Or Jesus saying, Call no one rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. Call no one father, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Or think of the tearing down of the curtain in the temple at the death of Jesus, symbolizing the universal accessibility of God to all of God's people. As Paul puts it, through Christ, we all have access in one spirit to the Father. The theme runs through the prophets and the New Testament that God will no longer need a mediator, that God will cut out the middleman. In the time to come, in the kingdom that Jesus came to usher in, people would no longer be dependent upon religious or political leaders to mediate their access to God, their relationship with God. The promise of God, made at the time of Ezekiel to a people who had been let down by their leaders, by the people who ought to have been their shepherds, their priests, their faithful kings, their teachers. I myself, I, your God, I will do this for you. I will give you the care that you needed from those who have let you down. And as is so often the case with the promises of the Bible, we find ourselves now living in a time which is neither one thing nor the other, a strange in-between sort of time, a time in which the promise of the kingdom of God is coming into reality, advancing sometimes, retreating sometimes, but always incomplete and partial. The day that the prophets indeed spoke of, when every tear will be wiped away, when every injury will be bound, when weapons of war will be silenced, remains a promise, a hope, a not yet, something worked for and anticipated, but not yet experienced fully as reality. And so we continue to hear the words of the prophets, and we find ourselves in that time in between. And we need to hear these words, as it were, with two voices. For in this time, we, each of us, are both shepherds and sheep. We are each shepherds. We each hold positions of responsibility. We each have people who look to us, whether officially or unofficially, for guidance, for advice, for protection, for wisdom, for inspiration, for leadership. And so as shepherds, we need to hear the rebuke in the voice of the prophets. Those words spoken against shepherds who neglected their responsibilities to look out for their own interests, who used their influence for their own good, even when that was to the detriment of others. But as well as shepherds, we are also, all of us, sheep. We are the ones who need guidance, who need help, who need protection, who need nurture. Sometimes we're more shepherds, sometimes we're more sheep. But we are always the ones who need those others to look to. And often we are also ones who have been let down by those who should have been committed to our care. By parents or teachers or friends or church leaders or politicians or employers. Sometimes because they were doing the wrong thing. Sometimes just because they too are human and have their limits. And so we hear these words as God's sheep as well. I will be your shepherd. I will call you by your name. I will seek you out from the places where you have been scattered by the winds of the world. I will find you and I will bring you home. I will see when you are injured and I myself will bind your wounds when those who should have had care of you let you down. When you are weak, I will give you strength. When you need rest, I will make you lie down and watch over you as you sleep. I, your God, will be the shepherd that you ought to have. I will be the shepherd that you need. I, your God, will seek out my sheep. Amen.